Okay, and Moonlight is an even older reference, so I'm sorry for that.
Right. Right.
But tomorrow I'll think of a great show that I could have said as an example.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the show was literally titled Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Right. And Lois got top billing.
I mean, I think that was supposed to be a pun on Lewis and Clark, but still, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's just it ran for 4 seasons. So
I only watched the first one.
Yep. Well, they got married eventually.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was like, and that was the thing, was it was very funny because it was a sort of, wag the dog moment where this TV show sort of forced Lois and Clark to get married in the comics because they were doing it on the TV show and the TV show was very popular at that point. So it was like, oh shit, like we gotta actually like catch up to the TV show. And it was, and the thing is like, I kind of off and on watched Lois and Clark back then, but I was following the comics because this was right after Death of Superman. And that was, for those of you who are too young to know about all this stuff, basically DC Comics had 2 back-to-back, like, kind of big splash moments to try to get attention on their staple characters. The first one was, we're killing Superman, which people were like, holy shit. And then they're like, okay, we're bringing him back. Sorry, our bad. Even though everyone knew they were bringing him back. Yeah. There's no way he was going to stay dead. And then right after that, that was when they, quote-unquote, retired Bruce Wayne from being Batman by having Bane break his back. And this allowed, I don't even remember the quote unquote real name of the character, but his apprentice Azrael took over the mantle of Batman and kicked Bane's ass and was Batman. And then like down the line, Bruce Wayne got his back fixed and then beat the shit out of Azrael and took the mantle back from him and all that good stuff. So all the Rets got conned. But the one thing that did happen that actually impact the comic book series forever was that finally Lois and Clark got married during this time. Cause Clark comes back from the dead, but he doesn't have his powers back. He's just a mortal man. And Lois is very mad at him for being dead and all this kind of stuff happening. And one thing leads to another where they're arguing with each other. And then he cuts himself on a piece of glass. And she's like, oh, what? That's fucking impossible. And he's like, no, I've been trying to tell you. Coming back from the dead has really fucked me up. This shit's weird. And then she's just sort of like in that moment, like, wow, my God boyfriend is kind of mortal. And this is weird. And now I have like this empathy for him. And then they fall back in love and get married while he's in that state, I believe. And then a day later, the sun hits him the right way and boom. Oh, wait, I'm back to being a god. Thanks for getting married to me, toots. And this goes back to saving the world and fighting crime and all that good stuff.
And but then he gets electric powers for no fucking reason.
Oh, yeah. Then they turned him into the energy Superman for like a week. And then everyone was like, you are going to reverse this right fucking now. And DC Comics was like, our bad. Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little more cynical, but I felt like they did that for the same reason they killed Superman, just to get sales back up.
Oh, I'm sure it was, but I mean, I could have seen them like sticking with Electro Superman for a little while longer, but Electro Superman was the aggressive new Coke of Superman. Yeah. Everyone was like, no, hard pass. Superman is Superman. He is not an energy being. He is a Kryptonian. Like, we know the story. You are going to de-energyify him immediately. And DC Comics was like, you got it. Our bad. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. So now that we've gotten everybody who tuned into the show to listen to political commentary to leave. What are we going to talk about?
You. Okay. So yeah, no.
I liked the Superman versus Aliens series. That was good. That was the only Superman I ever read. But anyway, go ahead.
No, so yeah, we had Dean Cain and all these other idiots like screaming, "Do it for Charlie!" And smash cut to nobody did it for Charlie. Charlie, much like Charlie the tuna fish, was left wanting. He did not get chopped up by the tuna fish company.
And then Mike Johnson tries to spin it by being like, well, okay, I mean, you know, some blue guys won in blue states. Big deal. We all knew that was going to happen. And then somebody, I don't remember who it was, but some guy responded, "Oh, so Georgia's a blue state now? Thank you for saying that, Speaker of the House Johnson."
So it's very good that you brought that up, because there were these state level elections in Georgia. There were like public commissioner jobs, which are kind of a really low importance, not much national salience to them. And the Democrats won both those races in Georgia, which is like the first time someone's won a statewide race in Georgia that wasn't for like Senate or a major seat like that. So that was a pretty telling event in the elections. But the big ticket items, the things that people were mostly following, were the Virginia governorship, which everyone knew that Spanberger was going to win. It was more the margin and how big was she going to win by. And the answer to that was very large. She won a very decisive, very convincing victory. This was not one of those, "Oh no, the Democrat won in a blue state by 3%. That's not great." And they actually won a lot of seats in the Virginia State Congress. So now she's going to take power with a powerful blue trifecta. So, get ready for the Virginia gerrymander to come in and get the Democrats more seats, because that's the bullshit both sides are doing right now. And so that was good. And there's a lot of I saw a lot of Republican belly aching about this race and saying that the Republican nominee wasn't a great pick, because Republicans are racist and misogynistic, and their nominee was a black woman who also had like kind of a tempered relationship with Donald Trump. So,
And that reminds me, somebody, I can't remember who it was. It was like Gunther Eagleman or some asshole like that. But he was all like, he was all like, "Obama's horrible because he's telling you to go for the white woman instead of the black woman." And I'm like, "No, he's telling you to go for the Democrat instead of the Republican." But he's like literally calling Obama evil for this.
Yeah, I saw some people being like, "The Congressional Black Caucus wants you to vote for the white lady instead of the black lady. What kind of traitors are they?" And well, because the black lady doesn't represent their views. "I thought you rejected identity politics, Republicans. What are we doing now? Now you're pure id poll? That is news to me." The other race that the other gubernatorial race was in New Jersey, and this one had an even bigger "do it for Charlie" message in it, because
that one was a lot more hotly contested.
Well, it was supposed to. Well, we thought the polling made it out to be more hotly contested.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. What happened? One second. New Jersey election results. You all get to listen to me stall as I Google stuff. But what I was going to say is this one guy, Colin Rugg, this right-wing bootlicker, said, "Just days after Charlie Kirk was killed, Democrat gubernatorial candidate of New Jersey, Mikey Sherrill, smeared Kirk as a quote-unquote racist and misogynist. What makes me laugh about this is that he put racist in quotes, but he did not put misogynist in quotes." Because he was just sort of like, "Look, Charlie Kirk really isn't a racist. He does fucking hate women, but racist, that's a bridge too far." And then he says, Jack Cottarelli called her out during their debate. She issued a statement condemning Charlie Kirk, calling him a racist and a misogynist. Vote for Cirelli for Charlie. and then smash cut to Mikey Sherrill winning comfortably by 13 points, 56-43. She smashed that dude decisively. I very much enjoyed her campaign posters, because one of the R's in Sherrill was a had the little hole in it that was a helicopter, because that was her big thing, that she was a helicopter pilot in the military, and that she moved from that into politics. She was a House rep in New Jersey for a while, and then she ran for governor, and now she's the governor-elect, so good for her. And I've seen the QAnon and the election denial freaks pissing and moaning about how this election had about 300,000 more people vote in it than previous gubernatorial elections in New Jersey. And weirdly, those 300,000 votes went to the Democrat. Yeah, because as you pricks mentioned, after it all was said and done, New Jersey is a blue state. So there's more Democrats than Republicans there, and the Democrats voted for the Democrat. So yeah, that's your conspiracy right there. People angry at Trump, probably also angry about him killing the New York, New Jersey tunnel project that was going to create trillions of jobs and another highway for them. Probably those people were like, we're voting against the fucking Trump party guys. Fuck him. And also, Cirilli, I don't even know if I've ever gotten his name right, but he doesn't deserve it. I believe this is his third time running for governor as a Republican and his third loss in a row.
Yeah, somebody referred to him as a perennial candidate.
Yep, that's that is the ultimate kiss of death in politics, when you're literally guy that runs for everything and wins nothing.
And they say usually if you lose three in a row, your career's over. Like they pointed out, Beto O'Rourke lost three in a row. He's out. What's his name? The woman who was running for governor in Georgia. I can't remember her name right now.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey Abrams. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you keep running and you can't win, eventually people are like, this guy can't win. We need a fresh face. We need a new move. I mean, yeah, you're allowed to have a second chance. I mean, as people pointed out, Biden ran for president three times before, and third time was the charm.
But it wasn't consecutively, though.
Oh no, exactly. Oh god, yeah. No, yeah. And that's the thing, is that usually you do have to take a day off. Nixon lost in 60, then he won the presidency in 68. So like that kind of thing does happen, but generally speaking, you just can't constantly be the nominee and expect it to work out, because people are like, oh, brother, this asshole again. And that's that.
And I vaguely remember hearing about something happening in New York on election night, but I don't remember what.
Oh, yeah. So our boy, the new front runner for the Democratic nominee for president, according to Ted Cruz, Zoran Mandani. America's great infotala communist Muslim won the governorship, the mayorship of New York City, defeating perennial sex pest Andrew Cuomo.
And if you believe the Republicans, Mandani wanted to fly one of the planes into the World Trade Center, but he couldn't because he was 9 years old at the time.
Yeah, I believe 10. I've seen 10.
I just looked it up. He was born in October of 91, so he was almost 10 at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This horseshit. Like, Mandani winning has unlocked so much racism against Muslims. It was like Republicans had just sort of like barred that door, and they were like, guys, like conservative Muslims really hate gay people. They're really against trans shit. They're anti-abortion. We can make inroads with them. Yeah, they're anti-women. We can make inroads with them. And then the Republican troglodytes just kicked that door down. And we're like, no! Fuck Muslims! I mean, if you are a religious, social Muslim in America, you are the most politically homeless person on earth. Because the party that doesn't want to fucking kill you stands for all the things you hate. And the party you want to be part of so badly would like sooner put you on a plane and send you to El Salvador than accept your vote. They fucking hate you. And it's just so, it's so insane that that's the situation. I mean, I do think that probably most Muslims in America, like most people in America, are pretty secular, and they just go to their mosque like when they feel like it, be it once a week or once a month or whatever. And they just live their lives, and they just believe in the Abrahamic God slightly differently than Christians, which is one of the things that just makes my head explode when I talk to these people. And they're like, Islam is trash, it's filth, it's perversion, it's murderous violence. It's A, have you ever read the Bible and all the unbelievable horse shit inside the Bible? I mean, the whole kill all the men of the enemy tribe, including the children, kill all the women and all the women who've lain with men. But the ones who have not lain with men, you may take as sex slaves for yourselves. The Bible doesn't quite say it that way, but that's what it means. And I don't know, that weird thing where like the some guy's walking around and these kids are like, hey, dude, you're bald. You suck. And then that guy's like, man, I really hate those kids calling me bald. And then bears rush out of the forest and murder all the children. This is a real thing that happened in the Bible. You can look it up. It's a real story. I promise you. But my point is that any holy book that was written thousands of years ago is full of crap from that culture, where they were unenlightened lunatics who believed in a might makes right ideology, because that's the world they were living in. So when people are like, Islam is incompatible with Western civilization, it's like, yeah, and if you followed the Bible word for word, it would be incompatible with Western civilization also. Because you know why? We would kill everyone who worked on Sundays. That would be a thing that we would do. I mean, it's very silly. And to put this in a bow, the only difference really between Islam, I mean, I'm sure that people would get very angry about me saying this, that I'm boiling it down like this, but the only real difference is that Muslims are like, Jesus was fucking awesome. He just wasn't divine. He was a prophet. He was a prophet of a line of prophets that began with Moses and ended with Muhammad. And all those guys were great, and we love all of them. And we love God. We love your God. We just happen to think that your God is by themselves divine, and that's it. There is no God but God. And Christians are like, nope, Jesus was divine too. And that's why we have this massive fight over, is this other guy divine or not? And it's like, boy, that sounds like a really important reason to kill millions of people. The Crusades, all the other bullshit we've done to each other, 9/11, all the rest of it is basically just a giant argument over the divinity of Jesus. And it's, I don't think we need to sweat that much. I think we can let that one slide.